Well, to start off tonight's sharing from God's Word, I have a song that I want to play for you. And again, as it's happened in the last several Wednesdays, Bill Westfall at his Garage Group Fellowship always plays these great songs, and they really fit with what we do in our particular fellowship. So one of them I'm going to play here. And it's a beautiful song by a group, Zoe Group. I've never heard of them before, but I was listening to a number of their music, and it's a group of singers, and really wonderful. And what I would like for you to do, this is part of the sharing tonight, part of you learning God's Word. I trust you came here to learn God's Word. You folks called in to grow in the things of God. So what I'd like for you to do is listen carefully and take some notes here. This song is called I Will Change Your Name. And what the song does, it talks about names, old names that we had that we would no longer be called. And there's four of those. And then these are new names that we are to be called from God's perspective. So I want you to listen and maybe make some notes, catch what those names are, okay? So let's go ahead and we'll play these songs, or this particular song right now.
I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name.
Is that a beautiful song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, the song goes, I will change your name. And I'm no longer going to call you. And did you catch? Did you catch the first one?
What's the word? Outcast.
Outcast is one of them. The first one was wounded. Outcast. Then lonely or afraid. Those are the four things. I mean, you think about when you start naming things and calling people names, what do names do? They identify who that person is. And so now, I'll no longer call you these names, so your new names shall be
confidence,
joyfulness.
Overcoming one.
Faithfulness.
Friend of God. One who seeks my face.
Yeah, these are great names for us to identify with. If God wants to call us these kind of names, then why not? Are we going to call God liar? Does he know what he's saying? Does he know what he's doing when he would name somebody? I mean, we should really grab on to the great truths that God, what he has called us today as his born-again ones. That's pretty fantastic. So tonight I want you to think about how you identify yourself. What do you identify yourself with? What name do you identify with? Now we have Tom, Dick, and Harry and different names that might not have meaning. But, you know, some people, when they name their child, they may have special names that have significance or meaning to them. In the Bible, we see this quite a bit. But what's most important is what God, the Creator, the heavens and the earth, calls us. And as born-again ones, he calls us a number of things. And I'm going to again ask for the folks that are in the fellowship here, what are some of the things that you are aware of that God calls us since we're in his family? Judy?
His children.
We're sons of God. We're his children. I've got a verse reference, Romans 8:14, and there's quite a few different other references in the Bible where God calls us his children or his sons. Anything else you think of? Yeah.
Lambs without spot.
Wow, and that really associates with what our Lord and Savior did for us, huh? That's beautiful, huh?
Without spot or blemish,
yeah. What about, we're a new creation in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creation in Christ. I mean, that's wonderful. That's phenomenal.
Joint heirs.
We're joint heirs, heirs with God, and joint heirs with who?
Jesus Christ. Saints.
We're saints, yes.
11.
Yeah, I like Bill Westfall. He calls himself Saint Bill. I think that's great. But see, these are, I know there might not be names, but they're titles. They represent who we are in Christ. And these are names that we should not just be satisfied with, oh, that's a nice name, you know, but what does this name mean, and what can I do as a result of this name? We're more than conquerors, right? Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. Not only do we conquer, but we are more than conquerors. So if God is saying this, and God is not a man that he should lie, then why not believe that? Why not really grab on to who we are and confess that first to ourselves and anybody else? Anybody else?
Whosoever.
Right on. So there's a verse in the Bible that we definitely identify with that is, to me, unbelievable. But it's believable because God said it, right? That's a figure of speech, unbelievable. And I like in our garage group fellowship, we look for aha verses, or we're looking at a book and a statement that really, aha, that really nails it. Well, there's quite a few scriptures that are aha scriptures, but there's some that I call, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is this really true? God, do you really mean this? And the one that really, are you kidding me, verse, is 2 Corinthians 5:21. And this is in regard to who we are. Let me quote this verse to you. I think this is the King James. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of who?
God
in him. Now, how righteous is God?
Righteous.
He's about as righteous as you could get.
Righteous.
And how righteous are you?
Righteous as God is.
Are you that righteous?
Yeah.
Are you that righteous tomorrow?
Yep.
Are you that righteous when you get up in the morning and you don't feel so well? Yes, because it says so in God's word. We are God's righteousness. Man, if we could really grab on to that identity, look out world. We'll be able to take on all the challenges that face us. Because we have the righteousness of God. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're complete in him. We're more than conquerors. You see, if we can just really grab hold of these identities and believe them and trust them to be true, we would walk and live the more abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us that we would have. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, 2 Peter 1:4 says we are partakers of a divine nature. And that kind of goes along with this, doesn't it? That we have God's righteousness in us. 1 Peter 1:23 says that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but what?
Incorruptible
seed, which, lives and abides forever. And it's by the word of truth, the word of God, that comes. So we have seed. It's eternal life in us. So what is my nature? Who is myself? You know, we're perfect. Oh, come on, you're not. How can you say you're perfect? Is God perfect?
Yeah.
You got God and Christ in you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got his righteousness?
Yeah.
You're perfect too. Now, our mind can't really grasp that, but it should. Why not? Why not talk to our mind and say, mind, you track with what the Word of God says. We track with what the advertisements say on the television, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody says you better brush with this toothpaste, you won't get any cavities, what do? We go out and buy that toothpaste, don't we? You know, if you're losing hair and they advertise this foo-foo stuff that goes on your head, you're going to go out and buy some foo-foo stuff. You trust what they say on the TV, huh? No, we trust God's word over any and everything, see? We want to live his righteousness. And really, our opportunity and privilege is to live his righteousness in you. And if I had a title for this teaching, that's how I would title it, Living His Righteousness in You. If we are truly righteous, then, man, why not live it? Why not have it manifested in our life? I think we just get talked out of it so many times. We need to see how we can talk ourselves into it. all the time. And how can you do this? The Word of God. How can you feed your mind the food that really counts? Man can't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man, we just want to feed ourselves, our minds, and our hearts the wonderful Word of God. Read it, believe it, live it, trust it, renew your mind to it, because it's the Word of truth. It's what really counts. That's what really counts. Well, you know, in a teaching, it's always good to have a call to action. And that's why I'm saying, you know, we see what the Word says. We have God's righteousness in us. So now the call to action is to live that way. Live knowing that we have God's righteousness in us. God is perfect, and He has made you and I perfect as well. So we want to live it to its fullest. And in doing this, to live it, we want to just give our life, our heart over to our Heavenly Father. There's a wonderful song that I want to close with tonight. And I want you to think about this. I want you to grab on to what we just went over here in God's Word, that we have God's righteousness in us. And then just work your heart, your mind, and what can I do to live this righteousness of God? We all have different avenues of life that we live and we move in, and that's wonderful. God needs us in all different walks of life, but that we still all have the righteousness of God. So how can we live it in our different walks of life? So I want you to think about that and talk with the Heavenly Father as you listen to this song as we close out.
This is my desire to honor You, Lord, with all my heart. I worship You, I worship You. I live for You alone.
Father, I pray that our desire is to recognize you in our lives, that we can just put our heart in your heart, your hands, Father, and know that you work mightily within us. You've spent such a precious price in giving us your righteousness. You've given us your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what little we can do, Father, we want to do. And we can do so much because of that gift of Holy Spirit abiding within, that righteousness of God that lives within. We can be our very best for you, Father, and I'm thankful that we can make wonderful decisions to walk for you and do the things that you've called us to do within the body of Christ. So I pray for your people tonight and for blessing them and continuing to love them up and to show them how wonderful they are. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.